I don't have hair like anybody. I don't have hair, but I got a prophetic word the other day. Isn't that fun? Ah, see? Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. I'll give it to your favorite charity, Donna. That's what I heard the Lord say, give it to your favorite charity. Me. Okay. So what we want to do is answer some questions, and they'll probably have brief answers so you have more opportunity. And one of the answers will maybe, I don't know. Or I don't have time to do all that. And I'm just going to get everybody else involved. I'll say, what do you guys think? You might want to ask Shelby's her name. And I know. There are seven people who speak into my life profoundly. Or actually, just tell me what to do. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God Olivia, God Shelby, God Rosemary, and now God Karen. Those are the ones who basically tell me what to do. And I'm very grateful. Amen. We submit one to another, don't we? Here, I had this couple telling this guy, the old guys in the 70s, and said, when me and Libby got married, said, we made an agreement. And that agreement was, this is Mr. Titus, he said, I'll make all the big decisions as the man in the household, and she'll make all the little decisions. He said, in 45 years of marriage, we haven't had one big decision yet to make. That's the way it works. Wisdom, that's right. So ask some questions, and I'll take advantage of Shelby and Donna and also Bishop here, who knows more about the prophetic than all of us put together, and also Gail back there. So, all right, so we're going to have this floating microphone. My runner. Sorry, Mark. All right, who had the first question? Right here. Yeah.
Could you define
I have a number of synonyms for it, but I don't know that one. That's the best answer I know. Creating a mess.
So anything.
Creates a mess. Out of order, goofy. When I usually talk about poop is when anytime you go after any ministry that's transrational, it's going to be a little messy. People are going to get some of it wrong, and they're going to create stirs and do all kinds of goofy stuff. And that's the thing pastors fear the most. Because they don't want to disrupt and destroy. Oh, we got some answers. But you're not on the panel. You can't answer the question. Yes.
And this goes back to poor etiquette creates a mess.
I can give you an example of poop. A pastor's preaching, somebody jumps up, starts screaming the word poop. You understand? Somebody starts spinning around in circles and acting goofy when they don't need to. Sometimes God could do something like that, but they have to have proven themselves over a period of years that they can be trusted with. But just being unsubmissive and Gail.
We had a really sweet country lady one time. She got up and crossed out and she said, God, thus says the Lord. God doesn't understand you being afraid. He gets scared himself sometimes.
That's right. Yeah.
So then my husband had to explain that God doesn't understand.
That's right. Somebody stands up and rebukes the church. Poop. Somebody stands up and rebukes a person. I got a word for you. God says you're in sin. Yeah, poop. Alrighty. Some person stands up and just starts weeping. God's just so unpleased with this church. Poop. So there's some examples of poop. Nope, you're not on the panel. Oh, you got a question. Oh, did you have a question too?
I did.
Okay, well, she was first. I thought she was in. No, dark sayings. It's just like that place from Numbers 12 that we're talking about, when we talk about dark sayings. Dark sayings are just sort of mystical ways God speaks to you. Instead of you getting a word from the Word or there being an impression, you hit the things we talked about. Dark sayings would be like you see things in the Spirit. And I think this is all tapes. You can go back. I was talking kind of fast yesterday. But dreams are a dark saying. Angels coming to you is a dark saying. An appearance of Christ would be a dark saying. Moses, he said he spoke to him mouth to mouth. But dreams, visions, angels, the Lord appearing, those are unusual sort of mystical ways. And those are higher levels of revelation. Most people just minister prophetically. That's not what comes to them. But as you grow in the prophetic, that can happen more. That's what I mean by dark sayings. Numbers chapter 12, I think it's verse 8, uses that. Yes?
When you were talking yesterday about your blue screen, I was once thought that, like, you were talking about the blue screen yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And then when I once thought that, you know, if I pray for somebody, that unless the Lord tells me to pray for them and heal them, that they won't be healed.
Right.
In your blue screen, when you see all these images, does the Lord tell you who to prophesy to, or you just pick from a ticker tape?
All right. For me, most of the things I see on the blue screen have to do with more national, international, political, geopolitical stuff. Sometimes I'll see something that's congregational, but that realm is more for other stuff. Or may speak a word about a season in the Spirit or something like that. But yeah, often God tells me who to pray for. But I'm of the conviction, even though I don't see it happen, it hadn't happened in my life, that God wants to heal everybody. Yes?
The role of the intercessors in your life, how do they operate? Is it you contact them on a very regular basis, or when the need arises, or
right.
How do you find that word?
Intercessors. You want to answer that question? And I would say this too, in the 10.5 years since I began to move in the prophetic at the level, that there were dramatic prophecies and amazing things that God did, but I didn't really understand the value of intercessors at all. And I think I got intercepted. Now, that's my fault. I didn't. And so a few years ago, through listening to somebody else, God just spoke clearly that if I was going to steward this thing in a mature way and not get intercepted, because the higher the levels, the bigger the devils, that I needed some people interceding for me. And I'd proven to myself, because when this was released in my life, I talked about the warfare, I talked about the dangers, but I'd never lived them before. And so I learned the hard way. And God's merciful, and so the Lord really led my heart intercessors and showed who they were. And they're a great source of comfort to me, because I know they're just crying out to God on my behalf, and I've given them freedom as friends, as sisters in Christ, to speak into my life. They think that I'm missing it. Now, I have others to do. I have a rector's council, bishop's council. I've got things like that. But from a purely intercessory place, because they understand the dangers. As intercessors, they understand the dangers. Because part of the prophetic, everything you do as a prophet or a prophetic person, especially if you have the office of a prophet, is intercessory. and you give a word, like if I give a word here at Noon Eucharist, whatever, and I say, I just really see train wrecks. And I think that's, it could be metaphorical, but I think there's going to be some disastrous train wreck. And God showed us that so we could intercede. It's a second heaven plan, and we'll have, that'll happen, but we'll have less stuff going on. Intercessors take that and keep them involved. And you remember Jeremiah. Jeremiah says he was a prophet to the nations, but he didn't go anywhere. He never traveled anywhere. But he was a prophet to the nations. And the words that he spoke, even I realize that when I speak words, prophetic words, and declare them and decree them, they impact things in the spirit, whether anybody heard the word or not. And that goes on in intercession. So, especially for prophetic people, intercessors are extraordinarily important, I think. Yes, sir? Back there.
Shelby, you talked about coming under authority and being careful about it as part of women overstepping their bounds. But what about men? I know you brought smart enough not to touch inappropriately. You know, are there any specific guidelines or do's and don'ts that you wouldn't normally think about as men?
Yes, David?
Several years ago at our church, there was a lady complaining to me that when she was prayed for by a certain clergy person, that she felt uncomfortable.
Right.
And I started to talk about that.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't Paul. That's right. Yeah, because he's got a wonderfully and truly submitted wife who would kill you if you had done that. She's like, no.
So before I talked to our guys about it, I went to 20 different women that came up, and I said, when our clergy prayed for me, you really feel comfortable. 19 said yes. 19. Because when a man, you know, prays for men, like they rose his shoulder, that's not sexual to that man. It is to that woman. Everything that men do,
yeah, most of the time we're able, but sometimes things are happening like at the altar rail. But if you'll see me sometimes we're at noon or whatever, and we'll pick so many, come pray. But as I watch how it fills out, there's more men, I'll start grabbing more men. I don't have time to go all the time, but often I go, there's more men, go pray for the men. So my common expectation is still, men should pray for men, women should pray for women. But that doesn't always work out that way. But again, men are aroused by sight. Women are affected by touch. That's just the truth of it is. And so if you're going to pray for a woman, just lay off. You're going to put your hand on top of her head? Do it. But don't lay your hand on here. Just back up. And I've had over the years many women come to me and say, that guy just made me uncomfortable. And I go, okay, I'm going to go make him uncomfortable. And yes.
Especially in the local church, not in a setting like this where there's a lot of other people, what are the safeguards against what you know about people that you don't get your flesh involved in prophesying and really in kind of a witchcraft?
Anybody have an answer? In local church, I mean, I have an answer, but somebody else needs to talk other than me. Gail? You didn't need to have to run this morning, Mark. We're going to run you all over the place.
I think that's where the intimacy comes in. You know, when you've been along with the Lord, and not trying to explain them because you know them. Like you can say, God says you're really going to be blessed this month. And you want to say, and maybe that's that wife coming in. So all you have to do is just say exactly what he's giving you, just people you know, and then encourage them
Remember, the key to the prophetic is not just the revelation, but the interpretation. And try not to go farther than the revelation. That God, you can even interpret that to them. Because we minister that way all the time here. People who come to our Eucharist from around the city, we minister to people we've ministered to 7, 8, 10, 15 times. You learn some stuff. But you just don't try to go. I think, Father Glenn, you were next.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. should speak and the others should weigh carefully what is said.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of discussion about who is the others in that passage. I know a lot of Pentecostal scholars think it's the other people in the room,
mm-hmm.
the congregation. I just wonder what mechanism there is that maybe an individual or what other parish pastors have mechanisms for evaluating prophecy, being able to discern corporate and personal prophecy, whether it's from the Lord, whether it's not, I mean, partially from the Lord, partially not.
Right. Well, it says in that same passage, it says not that passage, but in chapter 13, we see in part, we prophesy in part. So very few people ever get a totally clean, perfect prophetic word. And so we expect that, so that's good. But the other thing is if everybody judges, then you're going to have a chaos at every service. If you like stuff, because everybody judges it, well, I liked it. Well, I didn't like it. Well, why don't you like it? It's just not. So you have mob rule. So I interpret that to be the leaders, starting with the pastor down. And if somebody gives a word, again, like I said yesterday, and it's not, you don't think it's good or it's goofy or it's messy, unless it's totally destructive, I don't want to hurt that person. It says to God, I don't want to hurt that guy or hurt this girl and scare off the people who are trying to learn, so we'll pull her aside later and just speak into her life. So I'll speak to our rector's council or him and say, you know, you really can't do that anymore. There's some things. But if they do it again, then we tell them that's it. You can't minister publicly again. If they do it again, I'll rebuke them publicly and explain to everybody the process that brought me to that place. Yes, ma'am? Mark, let me move this barrier.
I want to go back to the question before about men touching and what that leads to. I think we lack the understanding sometimes of what transfers between people when they touch. And we were taught early on to really pray cleansing prayer for ourselves and for those who we minister to. So if there is no transference, that's what holy water is all about. And I know the priests know what it says, but how many of you ladies have ever read the prayer of the consecration of holy water? I like so to show. Not so that makes less than half. I implore you to go back and read them. Once you understand what is prayed over there, you will use it with wisdom and understanding, and it gets things done.
That's why you have the holy water in the back of the church. Clean coming in, clean going out.
And
you with me?
It's up to you to say, Lord, none of me, all of you, the blood of Jesus between me and you. And there's just that higher level of responsibility. If we're going to walk in it, we need to be responsible.
If you're going to pray for a woman, your clergy or whatever, lay hands on her head, keep a nice distance, don't be hugging and holding and just nice hand. And the thing I would say, why is it back there? And you've noticed people who've kind of been in that world for a long time, they'll always also do that on their way out. It is a sign that we expect in the meetings it's not all going to be clean and safe. There's going to be blood and guts down in the dirt ministry taking place. Clean going in, clean going out. One more, and then we have to get ready for Eucharist. Yes. Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
Well, I wanted to change the subject just a little bit because I used to be prophetic in the sense of just directly, thus saith the Lord. And then when we came into the CEC, the focus changed with my anointing.
Right.
Now the problem we had in the church where we're at right now is somebody, we would have a deacon or a priest or something that would receive people and say, well, you've got to work from the Lord, and then they would share a little bit of what they were going to do before, but you can't do that from the tongue and interpretation because you just flow in that.
Right.
So I haven't really talked to Bishop too much about it, but usually then I will interpret the same tongue that I've given. But we found that that's been very effective in our church.
Amen. What the way we do it here? Yeah, one of the ways we do it here, Kathy, is that we worship after we for and everybody here is not CC, so your structure may be different, but we provide a place for corporate prophecy, and we provide a place for personal prophecy. So, like after worship, we just have that typical charismatic time. If anybody got a word, and then we do our scripture reading stuff. And then after that, I bring people up and say, God will show me, bring them people up. Now, you want to speak prophetically. So we take special time to cultivate that so that we will have people give a word in tongues and or sometimes, you know, just a congregational word, what God's doing from people. And then we create a special another time for the other. And I just made this, I'm learning to make the sermon a little bit shorter. And there's some things we don't do. We don't always do the New Testament reading and the Old Testament reading. I think that liturgy belongs to the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, that's it. We'll do this again tomorrow morning. So we have some more questions. And this afternoon, Jason Hooper will be here. He's a good man who's very, very anointed, full of life. He's got as much scripture inside of him like a river that comes out. So you'll enjoy Jason. He'll probably cover some of the same subjects, but you'll hear it from a different voice, which will kind of confirm some things and say some new things. And tonight, again, we're going to have, if we can put a gun to Jason's head, make him preach short a little thing, and then we'll do like we did last night, release you again. And then tomorrow, let me just remind you again, if you like to read these things, go back and read 1 Timothy 4:14, 2 Timothy 1:6, Acts chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It all talks about rekindling the gift, rekindling the Holy Spirit, the gift particularly. And so tomorrow is so significant because you're moving in the prophetic, you're learning something about the prophetic, but tomorrow our prayer, and we're going to pray for you, just like Paul talks about, for a fresh impartation of the Holy Spirit. And that a fresh impartation, particularly the gift of prophecy. So even if you've been moving the prophetic for years, we're just going to pray for an increase. Kindle afresh the gift that was in you through the laying on of hands. We're just going to do it again. And I believe that. I believe that as much as I do John 3:16. So we do that at the end because I think it's the most important thing. You know, and so there's just an apostolic release of that. And so in terms of all of us and I'm not anything special, but what I'm praying for is that the prophetic anointing on me will impact you. And it'll be through other people be laying hands on you too, that you'll be released. And it will happen. If you come forth in faith, it'll happen. There'll be a release in you in the prophetic. And so what we've done so far this week is now then show you how do you handle that? How do you deal with that? But we don't want to just give you information. We want to increase, right? Increase. So we're going to have increase. That's why tomorrow we're going to end with increase. But it won't just be in the prophetic. It'll affect you and your whole world of signs and wonders, I believe. All righty? All right, we got 15 minutes to transition. You can go get some more coffee, stand around, visit, and let me